It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Patricia Naft. This week, the first case of Ebola in the U.S. was confirmed in Dallas, Texas. While the CDC is handling that case and monitoring the people the patient has been in contact with, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has been keeping an eye on Colorado hospitals. Doctors and staff are told to be on the lookout for the symptoms of Ebola, which include flu-like symptoms, muscle pain, and unexplainable bleeding or bruising. Voters in Colorado and Oregon will decide this fall whether or not they want the state to require labels on food containing genetically modified ingredients. Similar measures failed recently in California and Washington State, and Vermont is currently being sued for the labeling law enacted earlier this year. As KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, the ballot measures this fall highlight a much larger national conversation about the safety and prevalence of genetically modified foods.
Ben Hamilton walks down the salad dressing aisle at his neighborhood grocery store in West Denver.
I am a label reader.
That means seeking out organic options and scanning nutritional information. But Hamilton, a human resources consultant, says he wants more, specifically whether or not the food he's about to buy has genetically modified ingredients, or GMOs.
I think a lot of people read labels and really are curious to know what is in our food supply.
Earlier this summer, Hamilton and 19 other voters in Colorado sat on a citizen review panel tasked with hearing from both sides. At the end of 3 days of debate, the group wrote up their conclusions and took a straw vote, 11-9 in favor of labels. Hamilton's yes vote is right in line with consumer groups that say GMOs come with too many unanswered questions.
I think this boils down to a consumer's right to know. So it's not to debate whether GMOs are safe or they're good for you or bad for you, but it is about a right to know what's in our food supply.
I'm not convinced that we need it at this point, and I'm not sure that it does much for Oregonians.
That's Ernest Estes, a lawyer from Portland, Oregon, the other state with GMO labeling on the ballot this November. Estes sat on a similar citizen panel in his state with the exact opposite outcome. The vote was still 11-9, but the majority didn't see the need for labels.
If there is little or no risk to the public, I'm not sure that the government should be in the role of requiring things like this.
See, current science hasn't found adverse health effects from humans eating genetically modified foods, and that's supported by the American Association for the Advancement of Science and the World Health Organization. Many scientists say in this case, more information could actually distract the public. If enacted, the labeling rules could be confusing. The meat from a cow that's fed GMO corn and hay won't be labeled. Neither will dairy products, chewing gum, alcohol, and pet food. At an issue debate, leader of Colorado Right to Know, Larry Cooper, said the proposal had to be narrowly written.
So we had to be very careful about what subjects we put in the ballot. Yes, we've eliminated some specific areas, but certainly they can be added later.
Even with the narrower language, lawsuits are likely inevitable, especially as more states look to add to the national patchwork of GMO labeling laws.
When you're compelling a business to say something or a producer to say something, there has to be some governmental interest. There has to be a substantial government interest.
That's University of Denver law professor Justin Marceau. He says the proposals in Oregon and Colorado bring up thorny constitutional issues about free speech and commerce.
Why do we need this information? If it's idle curiosity that we're all just really curious about what's in our food, that might not be good enough. If it is GMOs are harmful, well, that's a different matter.
I left a shovel out here just for this.
Farmer Paul Schlegel says he's sympathetic to curious consumers who want to know how their food is grown, but GMO labels are too far down that rabbit hole. He grows genetically engineered, or GE, sugar beets outside Longmont, Colorado. The sweet-tasting beets are turned into granulated sugar at a nearby plant.
Once it's processed, there's no GE material in the sugar. The sugar is identical to conventionally grown sugar, sugar cane, even organic sugar.
Despite that, if the measure here, called Proposition 105, passes, the sugar that's grown on his farm will bear a label saying it was genetically modified.
It's just misinformation. It's misleading. Prop 105 is a mistake, and I think hopefully the consumers can figure that out.
Consumers will have a chance to make their voices heard at the ballot box this November in both Colorado and Oregon. And with more states taking up proposals, the national debate about GMO labeling is far from over. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find more stories at harvestpublicmedia.org. Governor John Hickenlooper and former Republican Congressman Bob Beaupre squared off in their second gubernatorial debate Tuesday night, hosted by the Denver Post. Benta Berkland has more.
The two candidates spent an hour covering a host of subjects, from immigration and education to marijuana, gay marriage, and energy policy. On that topic, Hickenlooper touted his new oil and gas fracking commission that will come up with legislative recommendations.
And if we're going to ask the oil and gas industry to be further back or make certain concessions, then we need to recognize that private property has real value and that there's got to be a balance in terms of the mitigation.
For his part, Beaupre says he's glad there won't be anti-fracking initiatives on the ballot, but feels Hickenlooper's approach is wrong.
By kicking the can down the road, as he did with his commission, he kept the conflict alive. And what he's putting in conflict is the rights of the surface owner and the mineral rights owner, that split estate.
The two did agree that there's too much abuse in the medical marijuana industry. They support governors crafting a solution to immigration reform, and neither think more gun control laws are necessary, although Beaupre supports repealing several gun laws that are already on the books. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And finally, monsoon season is over, but sure doesn't feel like it. The western slope has been hit hard by rain for the past few days. The Grand Junction Airport has recorded over 10 inches of rain this year, making it so far the seventh wettest recorded. And records go back to 1893. This is forecaster Travis Booth with the National Weather Service.
We're having some weak cold fronts that are passing through, and they're interacting with some of the leftover monsoonal moisture, and that's what's causing the shower activity. So it's kind of a mix. The monsoonal moisture is on the way out. This may signal the end of that, but these weather systems that are passing through are actually working with that moisture to provide these, you know, widespread showers and thunderstorms that we've seen the past several days off and on.
Travis says we might see some drying out in the next few days. The National Weather Service collects a large amount of data from volunteers who report it what they see. If you're interested in climate and want to become involved with KVNF's project I See Change, check out the website at thealmanac.org and tell us what you see. Up next, Joanna in the Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.